You're listening to Amar Chazara. Should I attach this one to my name? To Daniel Eisenberg. Sechas Brachos, Daf Chav Gimel Amar Beis. So, Mr. Mesa. Okay, so we just gave two stories, very similar stories about Rabbi Yochanan and Rava? No, Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan and Rava, where they had Sifrei Agadata. Oh no, it was Rava with Rav Nachman, and Saminim of Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Yochanan, and he had the Sifrei Agadata, and they wouldn't, they didn't want to bring that in, but they brought their tefillin in anyway, because they felt that it would be some sort of Shmira, and Rashi explained Shmira from Azikin. So they since they had a Heter, they said, let's use it. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, a related Braisa. Lo yechaz adam tefillin biyado, v'sefer Torah b'zro, v'yispalel. A person should not grab tefillin in his hand or a sefer Torah in his arm and daven. Why not? Why shouldn't you daven with these things in your arm? Well, there are these things in your hand. So Rashi says, "She'ein datam yusheves alav betvila shahari libo tamid alehen," because the person's das is not settled. His mind isn't settled when he's holding these things, and his lib because he's thinking about them constantly. He doesn't want to drop these things, so he's not going to be able to daven properly, so don't hold these things when you're davening. Don't urinate with them, meaning presumably not wearing them, but even holding them, which we'll have to see. Does that really line up with what we said, with all the opinions we quoted yesterday? So we'll take a look. V'lo yashin behen, lo shenas keva, v'lo shenas arai, and do not nap in them. Not shenas keva, not shenas arai. Not the sleep for the night, nor a temporary one. So Rashi over here, nap.
What does a nap count as?
You should not nap in your tefillin. Well, why not? So a couple of reasons. Rashi is going to say over here. Shema Yafiach, maybe he'll pass gas in his sleep. Though there also might be a concern, and I think Rashi elsewhere, the Gemara elsewhere will say that it's the same kind of concern if you take a nap or sleep with tefillin in your hand. So it's not exactly the same concern as before, but he might drop the tefillin. Before we're not worried about him dropping the Sefer Torah tefillin. We're worried about him not being able to daven, so because he doesn't want to drop the tefillin. But over here, we don't want him to fall asleep holding tefillin. Not where, meaning, it's unclear in this braisa if it means don't fall asleep while wearing tefillin or while holding tefillin. Rashi over here seems to be saying while wearing them, because you might pass gas, but passing gas while holding them is not really a problem. But another way to interpret this braisa, which is indeed interpreted, which is that don't fall asleep while holding them, because you might drop them.
What does temporary mean? Like,
nest.
Yeah, but now
I'm not wearing my pajamas. I didn't say hamapil.
Like, doesn't mean like 5 minutes. Or like,
I don't think you should take a base nap in your toilet. I don't think you're supposed to. Omar Shmuel says, "Sakin umos v'ka'ara ukikar hari elu kayotzi behen." Other things that you should not fall asleep while that you should not daven while holding a knife. Good advice. Maos, money, ka'ara, a plate, kikar, or a loaf of bread, because they're all similar. In that, Rashi says, right? We don't want them to, you know, if you have a dish of water or money or bread that's going to get dirty, we don't want to hold them while you're davening. Okay. You're not going to be able to daven. Amar Rav Sheshes. Leis hilchasa keha masnisa. The halacha is not in accordance with this braisa that we just read. How does he know? To Beis Shammai, because it's the opinion of Beis Shammai. In general, we don't hold like Beis Shammai. So if we attribute this to Beis Shammai, therefore we're probably not going to hold like it. Now, what did Beis Shammai say yesterday? So we mentioned the braisa yesterday. Beis Shammai said, if you're holding your tefillin, so he says, you should put your tefillin in the chalon, right? That's what he says? Yeah, he says, you should put your tefillin in the chalon. You should not put your tefillin, you should not carry them. And Beis Hillel says, they say, you can hold your tefillin in your hand, right? So since they so when over here when we say that you're that v'lo yashin behen mayim, you if you're holding your tefillin you can't urinate. It sounds like beis shammai, and therefore we don't hold them. D beis hillel says the Gemara, hashta beis akise kavua shari. Since the beis hillel even said in a beis akise kavua. Right, it's permitted to hold your tefillin. Basakise arayim ibay. I mean, even if we're talking about a basakise aray here, temporary bathroom for meraglayim, and of course, so of course it's going to be mutter according to Beis Hillel to carry it with you. Beis Hillel says even in a basakise kavua, a nasty basakise kavua that's been used a bunch of times for tsoa. And then, of course, so this brisa seems to be not in accordance with Beis Hillel, and therefore, Rav would say that we, in the name of Rav Sheshas, that we do not hold like this brisa. So now we're going to say, wait, is that true? Meisvei, but we learned in the brisa, so this is a phrase a little bit taken out of context, so we'll have to understand it. Dvarim sheitarti, this is a quote from the brisa. Things that I permitted, dvarim sheitarti lach kan, asarti lach kan. Things that I permitted you to over here, I forbade you from doing here. Right? And now we have to see what this applies to. Right? Rashi says, the beis akise kavua, asarti lach kan, the beis akise arai. That there's the statement of the Tana in this brisa, is that I permitted something in a beis akise kavua, but I forbade it in a beis akise arai. So we have to figure out what's it talking about. We're going to try to explain this. My, lav tefillin, are we not talking about tefillin? Right, Rashi says, Shamru beis hillel, oksim biyado, v'nichnas lebeis akise kavua, lahashnim behen asru, mikid v'farish tam l'kan. Meaning, maybe this is beis hillel, and maybe beis hillel in our brisa is talking about kavua, and, meaning, we back up for a second. We know that the Tana says a strange statement. I permitted something over here in a beis akise kavua, and I forbade it in a beis akise arai. Hey, that could be beis hillel. Maybe beis hillel say in our previous brisa in talking about a beis akise kavua that you're allowed to hold between, and that's what I hitarti lach. And in the beis akise arai in this temporary one. So that's what I forbade, and that's so. Beis Hillel is also this opinion, right? V'lo yashin behem mayim, talking about beis akise arai, and he says you're not allowed to. So maybe that's the explanation of this phrase. And now this brisa is actually in accordance with Beis Hillel. Ella iam rat beis shammai. If you're going to tell me beis shammai, no, beis shammai is the one who said this phrase. Hitarti lach kan, kavu asarti lach kan. So right, but if you're going to say beis shammai, halo shari lomidi. No, what did he permit? Beis shammai did not permit anything, so it can't be. So now the Gemara responds again. No. Kitanya hahi leinyan tefach utvachayim. When he says the statement, the Tana says the statement, I permitted something here and I forbade it over here. So he's talking about the inyan of tefach utvachayim, a tefach or two. Ditani, because we learned brisa, chada kishahu, ditani chada kishahu nifne megal, so we learned one brisa, kishahu nifne megal le'acharav tefach ulefanav tvachayim. That a person, when he reveals himself, when he has to relieve himself, he reveals himself behind himself one tefach, and in front of himself two tefachim. So over here, we're talking about, in general, going to the bathroom b'tznius. Right, Rashi says, la'achrav tefach lo yosem mishum tznius. So he's saying, this brisa says that when a person needs to relieve himself number two, so what does he do? Don't be confused. Number two is actually not one. It's only one tefach, and number one is going to be two tefachim, because right, just anatomy reasons, right? You're only going to reveal as much as you need to reveal, and the time of this brisa felt that for one, it might be splattering, this and that, so you have two tefachim, but behind himself, he only needs one tefach. Okay. V'tanya idach, and we learned in another brisa, l'acharav tefach u'lefanav lo klum. There's another brisa that argues and says, in back of you, you only have to do a tefach. You can only do a tefach. And in front, you can't do anything at all.
How does that work?
Right. So it presumably means during his number, I think if he's going for number two. Right? If he's going for number two.
Because they have cloaks. So they just sit.
Like gowns. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I guess.
So for number one, I guess they can separate their cloak or whatever, or just a little bit.
Right. Right. So, well, I'm not sure. So we'll see. We'll see. So first, the assumption is my lav edi ve edi be ish lo kasha kan le gedolim ve kan le gitanim. We have so. So the assumption right now, it kind of jumps to the answer. It kind of jumps to the answer. It kind of ruins the surprise of the geschmack of the next answer. It says, aren't we talking about two cases of a man? And then we're going to say, no, one's a woman. But so it ruined the answer ahead of time. But aren't we talking about, we have a stira of two brisos, all right? Because one of them says, I can do two tefachim in the front and one in the back. And the other one says, I can do zero tefachim in the front and one in the back. So, aren't we talking about two cases of men? And what's the difference? Kan legedolim, kan lekatanim. One is for number two, and one is for number one. Right? Isn't that what we're talking about? Meaning that if somebody sits down, for number two, and they are. And so, in that case, he's allowed to reveal himself. We would say twice in the front. Let's just go in front. What?
Well, the first one says twice in the front, one in the back. And the second one is zero in the front, one in the back.
Yeah, so there's going to be a concern. I saw in Rashi that. Okay, so let's take a look at Rashi. Ella, idi b'idi b'gidolim. Oh, no, so okay. So we'll take a step forward and then we'll take a step back. So, what's going on? Aren't we talking about idi b'idi 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 b'ish v'lo kasha kan l'gedolim kan l'katanim? One Bryce is talking about gedolim, one's talking about katanim. B'tisvara ibe katanim la'acharav tefach lomali. Is that logical though to say that if it's katanim and we're talking about number one, why do you need the tefach behind? Meaning the other way around, meaning if I'm going for number two, I understand why I have to reveal in the first place. Rashi says, when we talk to who doche gatun legdolim, who bali de katanim. Right? Sometimes that happens. And the person is going for number two, but he's putting pressure on his lower body, and then sometimes he urinates as well. Like, right? He didn't go in for number two, sorry, number one, but while he's there. But for the other way around, let's say you're standing or sitting for number one, doesn't usually happen that all of a sudden number two is going to come out. So you don't have to reveal tefach on the back, so maybe that's what we're talking about. So v'tisra ibitan lachrav tefach lamali. But if he's going number one, ketanim, why would he need that tefach on the back? It can't be. Ella idi v'idi b'gedolim. No, both cases are talking about gedolim. V'lo kasha. Ha be'ish, ha be'isha. We're talking about a man and a woman, and then there are differences, and it makes sense that if we're talking about, in a case of a man. So the man reveals two tefachim in the front and one tefach in the back. A woman, one tefach in the back is fine, and that's really all she's going to need. Yehachi, if that's so, if we're going to understand the resolution to these two rites as such, ha'diktani ala zehu kavachom rashen lav tshuva. My ain't a love tshuva. So okay, so there's another statement of this brisa. Like I wish they would give us the full version of the brisa ahead of time, and we could just look at all the pieces. It'd be a lot easier. There's another phrase in the brisa that has yet to be quoted, but here it is. That the Tana says, and this is a kal v'chomer that has no tshuva. There's no response to this kal v'chomer, meaning he supports a certain din that he said with this strong comment of. This is a kal v'chomer that doesn't have a tshuva. So now the Gemara asks, my ina love tshuva. What lack of tshuva is there? Darka de milsa, hachi isa, right? Rashi has a slightly different verse. He says, "Urcha de milsa hachihu, shah ish tzarich legalus lefanav v'lo isha." Meaning that this is not a kal v'chomer. This is an anatomy thing, right? Where it's not talking about kal v'chomer. It's saying, so if you're telling me that we're talking about, right, when we make the statement about the kal v'chomer, and you're and earlier about the heter, right? I permitted you this for over here and this over there. So we now wanted to interpret it as when do I permit something over here and I forbid it over here? That's talking about a man and a woman in the front. So we want to suggest such a thing, that I permitted a man to reveal in the front and I ushered a woman from revealing in the front. That's what we're suggesting, but that can't be. Because in that same brisa we said, and this is a kal v'chomer that cannot be refuted. Kal v'chomer, it's not a kal v'chomer, it's biology. Right, that's how the body works. Meaning, darka de milsa achisa. So, ella lav tefillin. To ella lav tefillin or ella lav. Rather, it's not what you just said. Rather, I think it's tefillin.
The ushering is
that we spoke about.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? That when we were talking about the ushering and the matering, we're not talking about the man and the woman. We're not talking about a man. The difference between a man and a woman. We're talking about the case of walking in with tefillin or not. And that for some reason he matered bringing tefillin into a basic kisei kavua and asered bringing into a basic kisei arai. Right, the tiyufta the Rava Amar Rav Sheshes tiyufta, and the refutation against Rava in the name of Rav Sheshes is indeed a successful refutation. Right, Rava tried to say, this brisa is beis shamai, and we don't hold like it. So he said, no, it actually is beis hillel. This brisa is beis hillel, and we do hold like this. But Beis Hillel is coming to be machmir in a case of a base kisei arai, and not in a base kisei kavua as he did on the previous amud. And we refuted the assertion of Rav Amar Rav Sheshes that it was Beis Shammai because of the phrase hitarti lach and asarti lach lekan lekan. So he clearly differentiated between a basic kisei arai and a basic kisei kavua. Don't tell me it's ish and isha. It's not true. And because we called it a kal v'chomer that can't be refuted, it's not a kal v'chomer. There's no kal v'chomer. So mikol makom kasha. But nevertheless, we're still left with the kasha. Hashta basic kisei kavua shari basic kisei arai lo kol shekein.
Right.
So what is that? Meaning it sounds like this is a kal v'chomer, but like the other way around. Why would Beis Hillel permit bringing tefillin into a Beis Akisei Arai, Kavua, a dirty, used Beis Akisei Kavua, and not a Beis Akisei Arai? So, Hachi Gamar, this is what we're saying. Beis Akisei Kavua Deleka Nitzotzos, Shari. A Beis Akisei where there aren't droplets, where there isn't splashing, that's where it's permitted. Basic kisei arai de'ikanit sotzos, but in a basic kisei arai where there is splashing, asri. That's what's forbidden. So Rashi says on de'ikanit sotzos sheit sarach l'shafshafan b'yamino me'al raglav, that he's going to have to wipe it off his legs. And he says basically, you say, all right, like katanim. We're talking about for katanim. Dika nitzotos hanitazin al gabe raglav. Right, that there's going to be splash on his feet. And v'amrimah v'sechz yumas. This is interesting comment. There's a Gemara in Yuma which says mitzvah the shafshwan sha'asr ladam shetze bein tzosa sha'al gabi ragav shema yira kikrus shafcha v'nimtza motzi laz albanav sheman zereb. So this it's going to sound like a stretch, but that a person is supposed to wipe the leftover katanim on off his feet, because if he doesn't, so people will see, I don't know at what point, they'll see, and they're going to assume that there's something wrong with his organ, and then they're going to say, ah, if there's something wrong with his organ and he's not able to reproduce properly, then his children must be mamzerim.
Wow.
So when we get to Yuma, we'll have to be mind that, mark it down. Yuma, Laman, Amid, Olive, we'll discuss it then. We should make it there, B'Shalom. So bottom line is, it's an important thing to wipe away droplets of Titan. Okay, so Ihafi, if that's so, am I in a love tshuva? Tshuva Malaisahi. What do you mean this kavod woman has no refutation? We just refuted it. Meaning you told me that there's a kavod chomer based on kisei arai, but that you're permitted it in a kavua and you're forbidden in a arai. And we said there's no tshuva, there's no explanation for this kavod chomer or maybe the lack thereof. But then the response is no, that it's because this case is droplets, this case is not. It could be that we're talking about, by the way, a based when we say based kisugua, it could be that we're talking about a sitting one. And it could be that will be a difference in whether there's droplets or not. So, Haki Kama. No, this is what we're saying. Milsa, Ha Milsa Tasi La Batoras Taima, Velo Tasi La Bakava Chomer. This discussion is a matter of understanding. It should be brought in a matter in like a Torah's taima, meaning in a Torah discussion of reason. V'lo teisi la b'kavah chomer, but don't bring it as a kavah chomer. Di asya la b'torah's kavah chomer zeu kavah chomer shein love tshuva. This is not a kavah chomer. The kavah chomer would be right. It's a basically say kavua. You for sure can basically say right. You can. So don't tell me it's a kavah chomer. If it's a kavah chomer, if you're going to teach it as a kavah chomer, then there's not going to be a tshuva to it. It's not going to make sense. But so we have to explain it as a reasoning thing. It's based on the nitzotzos. Rashi says. Meaning there's a reason of nitzotzos. Di asu labatoras kalachomer, says Rashi. Lomer dinhu lahaka babesa kisei rai, kalahachmer babesa kisei chamor, velos asu basar taima, ela basar chumra, vekula, vanan avdina ipcha. We're going to actually do the opposite of what's the halacha. Meaning, as we said, that if you try to teach as a kavachomer, you're not going to have a tshuva. You're going to be confused. Don't play the kavachomer game. This is not a kavachomer situation. There's a difference in each case. One there's nitzotzos and one there's not nitzotzos. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Harotz elikanis l'sudas keva. Somebody who's about to enter into a sudas keva, and he has to go to the bathroom, but I guess he's not able to at this moment. So it's a ganai that he's going to have to, you know, ask permission to relieve himself, right, to powder his nose in the middle of a big suda, right? So we suggest that you try to go to the bathroom before you have a big long meal. Mahalech asara panim. So what should this person do? He should walk 10 times, daud amos, or daud panim yud amos. He should walk 40 amos, whether 10 times 4 or 4 times 10, and then he'll go to the bathroom, and then he should go into the meal. Rashi just explains that v'chol pam pa'pam, bodek atzma v'yoshev u'layucho levanos, shehiluch morig ha'gdolim l'nakim. Right, walking sometimes increases the ability for gdolim. So if you know you have a big meal coming up, you're probably going to have to go to the bathroom in the middle. Better to try to make yourself go to the bathroom beforehand than to have to ask to be excused for a long amount of time during a meal where your presence and lack thereof will be noticed. Like, you know, people sitting around the table, where he's taking a long time, where is it?
Well, back then, like you said yesterday, like the bathrooms were really far away. I wonder if there's a bruchos issue, if he's gone for so long. Maybe, I don't know. don't know.
Rashi doesn't go that route. It could be other reason. Do Rashi says it's a g'nai. It's embarrassing. I mean, we've all been at tables where like someone's gone and someone comments about the length of how long someone's been away for. Okay. Amar of Yitzchak Hanichnas L'Suras Keva Cholitz Tfilav. Somebody who enters into a Suras Keva, a long chashev meal, Shabbos meal, he should take off his tefillin and then afterwards enter the meal. Why is that? So because Shayam Shamayish Takir says Rashi Besuda V'Yis Ganev Tefillah, he might get drunk and he will do something disgraceful while wearing his tefillin. It's not appropriate. Is it appropriate to ever get drunk? Of course not. Of course not. Right? Of course not. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya argues with him. Dam Rabbi Chiya, manichan al shulchano, v'chein hadorlo. He should place them on the shulchan, and so they should be good for him. They should be nice for him. Rashi says she used mezuman in lo v'yachzer inichan b'shalas bracha. Meaning, don't take them off before you get to the suda. Come in, sit down, maybe wash, then take off the tefillin and leave them on the table. It'll be good for him, because then and hadra for him, because or v'chein hadra, and so they should go back to him. Maybe that's what it is. Let's talk about what it is. Maybe they should go back. It'll be so they should go back to him that he should be able to put them on afterwards. V'ad emas. So when do you put your tefillin back on at one of these sudos? Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak adzman bracha. Around bracha, or how long do you take them off for? So take them off until the bracha zamazon, and put them on for bracha zamazon. You have extra kavana, beautiful to make bracha zamazon with tefillin on. Tani chada sor adam tefilav ima osav ba'afar kasuso. So one brisa teaches that a person may be so rare his tefillin, he can to bundle up, to wrap up his tefillin. Im ma'osav ba'afar kasuso, along with his money in his turban, maybe sudar sharosha, yeah, his turban, right? So you're allowed to. So he says you're im ma'osav lo im ha'mos mamish ela shnei sharim ze itzel ze, right? Meaning you're not wrapping up your money in the ritzuos, but putting them both next to each other in the same. Rap, meaning I can keep my tefillin in my wallet or my money purse or my turban. I usually personally carry my money in my turban. So I don't know if you guys do that, but when I do it, so you can. So he says the town of this price says you can put your money in there. That's fine. Put your money where your head is. V'tanya idach, and we learned in another price, lo yotzor. You are not allowed to. That's what we call a stirai, contradiction. So lo kasha, no, sorry, it's not actually a contradiction. Ha de azamne, ha de lo azamne. So this is where, I think it could be, it probably means designated. This is one case is where it's designated and one where it's not. So Rashi explains, ha de azamne, ha de lo azamne, lahi sudar l'tfilin. So Rashi says that the Gemara is saying that the case where you're allowed to put it in is where the sudar, where the turban, was not designated for tefillin. However, if it's designated for tefillin, that this is my tefillin turban, or what is it called? Is that called? Is it tefillin bag called? Yiddish word for it. So if it's a tefillin bag, this is a destiny for a tefillin. You can't put money especially in the inner bag. You can't put money in there. However, if it's I happen to have my tefillin out and I need someone to carry them, and I take off my turban, and that's where my money is. So that's fine. I can put them together. In that case, we have resolved the contradiction. Okay. Hada zamne, hada la zamne. Damer of Chizda, as Chizda Chizda says, hi sudra de tefillin da zamne la meitzer be tefillin. So this sudra de tefillin da zamne la meitzer be tefillin sar be tefillin asur. Sorry. Oh, asur la meitzer be pshite. So if you have a sudra de tefillin that you designated to wrap your tefillin in, sar be tefillin, asur lemeitzer be pshite. I think that's the coins. You're not allowed. So you're in such a case, you're allowed to wrap the tefillin in the tefillin bag, and you cannot wrap coins. Azamne velot sarbe. Oh, sorry. He's saying, I think, whether you did it yet or not. Meaning, we're talking about designation without necessarily having done it. So, high social tefillin, dezamne lemeit sarbe tefillin. And so you designated it to wrap your tefillin in it. And then sarbe tefillin. And you wrap your tefillin in it, also lemeit sarbe pshita. You can't wrap your coins in it. However, azamne, if you designated it, said, this is my new tefillin bag, velot sarbe, but you never got around to actually putting tefillin in, sarbe. You're allowed to actually wrap the money in them because you didn't use them yet. Velo azamne, and if you didn't designate it, shari lemeit sarbe zuze. You're allowed to put your coins in it. That's fine. So Rav Chisda is saying that the designation, that you need the combination of designating it to be a tefillin bag and then having used it once, acting upon the designation, will asher it. However, if you have one or the other, it won't. But Abaye, who argues, I guess, with Rav Chisda, says that designation is a significant thing. Meaning, over here, what we're saying is designation on its own is nothing. On its own, it doesn't do anything. Because if I designate it for my tefillin bag, it's fine. But Abaye, who says designation is something significant, I forgot to load sarbe. Even if you didn't yet wrap your tefillin in it, sarbe, you're allowed. Sarbe, you can wrap it. Iazamne, but if you designated it, asir, ilo azamne, lo bay, asir, ilo azamne, lo. But if he didn't designate it, then he's not allowed. Does that make sense? One more time. Going back to Abaye. Abaye says, "Asmana milsehi." So azamne afal gav delot sarbe. If he designated it, even if he didn't do it, and sarbe yazamne asir ilo azamne lo. But if he didn't designate it, then Abaye will permit that, and that is fine. Okay. But me Rav Yosef, right? Rav Nechunya, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef, son of Rav Nechunya, asked Rav Yehuda, "Ma'u she'niach adam tefila tachas v'meras herself? Is a person allowed to put tefillin under his head at night or something like that? Tachin rag l'sof lo kom ibayilay. Shenoig behen minag bizayon." He didn't ask about, can I put it under my feet? Obviously, not. That's minag bizayon. Ki kom ibayilay tachas v'meras herself. But I'm asking, what about putting it under my head? A person put it on his head. My, what's halacha? Amarle. He said to him, "Hachi amar Shmo." This is what Shmo said. Mutar afilu ishto imo. He can even put it under his head, even if his wife is going to be there in bed with him, which would add a certain level of disgrace, you would think, but it's not necessary. But he says no. Meisve. Well, we learned from the Brisa. Lo yaniach adam tefilah tachas meraglasav nipnei shenog behendach bizayon. You can't put it under your feet, obviously. Avol manich and tachas merashosav. But if his wife was with him, usher. So now that's a problem because it contradicts. It says if his wife is there, can he or not? So ha makom shegavol gimel tvachim or na makimel tvachim mutter. But in a place where it was three tvachim high or three tvachim, I guess, low, then it would be mutter, meaning it's a different location. Tiyufta to Shmuel, tiyufta, and this is a refutation to Shmuel. Okay, we'll call it here. Thank you.